This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hey everyone, welcome to My Millennial Money Express. I'm Glenn James. Today, this episode, I've not done this before, but it was just too good a conversation not to put up on Main Street. What it is, on Thursday of next week, on My Millennial Money, we've got Luke Berry, who's one of the directors of Third Eye Constructions, and we do an episode about buying off the plan and profile his company, and it's a really great chat. Anyway, I wanted to cover in that chat a little bit about what his company's doing with NDIS Housing and whether it's something to invest in as a property investor. So what you're going to hear is a recording of the after party because it was right in like an hour deep into the episode at the very end. And there was just some valuable insights all around NDIS Housing and what Third Eye is doing to develop these types of properties for people who may need that in our community. So have a good listen, then keep an eye out for the My Millennial Money episode on buying off the plan. And yeah, enjoy. Thanks, guys. Bye. All right, everyone, we're back for a bit of an after party. We actually forgot to talk about one thing, and that was what Third Eye and Race are you doing with the NDIS Housing. So this is really important, and I'm glad we are actually doing it towards the end because the people who care about apartments and building will actually find this valuable.
You bet.
So give us a rundown. What's happening?
Well, look, what we were very lucky, 2010, I think it was, we did the Bell Apartments in Lake Macquarie, near Newcastle, 120-odd apartments, and we inherited this deal, and there was 10 properties there that were getting created for someone called the Summer Foundation. We had no idea what it was, right? But there was like each of these apartments over $150,000 extra with all this home automation and you know, assisted living. And we started learning about it more and more, and those 10 apartments were built for young men and women with a disability, and it was part of a national trial for the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme. So unbeknownst to us, we had to build these things and learn how to build them. But the most powerful thing, I'll never forget it, is a young guy at the time of settlement came in and was moving into the property and was really emotional. He had broken his neck in a motorbike accident. And I was Luke Mahaffey, our architect and design manager, was there, and I was thinking, shit, we've stuffed it up. We've got it wrong. Like, what's he upset for? But he was actually overwhelmed about him getting his independence back. Mm. And he was living at that stage. He said, I was either going to be in a nursing home for the rest of my life and watch the people around me pass away because they're all old and aging, or I was going to become a burden on my mum and dad. And what you've given me is I've got my own place. Like, through voice activation, he can open doors. He can live independently. Yeah, wow. Mm. Powerful stuff. And that then forced us down a path of creating the NDIS. And I'm really proud to say that in Newcastle, we've already built and delivered 24 NDIS. We've proven that this type of housing can be built within medium and large scale schemes, because that was the trial, and that those members of our community that are often forced to the city edge and the peripheral away because it's more affordable now actually have purpose-built properties in the CBD, on transport links, and they're great additions to the building community, and we're making a big positive change. And there's just not enough of this type of housing getting created. I think the numbers are around 6,000 young men and women are living in accommodation that isn't designed for their ability. Mm. And, we're on a mission. We're going to try and we've set ourselves a target to build 150 along the east coast of Australia by the 2025, and we've got 24 finished. I've got a building in Tweed Heads, Coffs, Port, and now the Central Coast. We're building homes, and yeah, it's a complicated asset class, creating properties for the NDIS, but shit, it's a rewarding one.
It's awesome.
So I actually went in one of the units when I was doing my inspection. I went down and went in, and it's just, yeah, it's all custom, accessible height, all automatic doors. Like, it's actually, you know, if I had a disability and
had a unit that had a lower kitchen, lower oven, lower, like, it's just quite an amazing thing to see. And the fact that you're doing it is just amazing.
And to the same standard that an able-bodied person's apartment is. And that's what I love, is that we've really worked out that whilst there is some limitations to a bench top that needs to elevate up and down so people can use it with a wheelchair, or the ovens need to be at a certain level to able them, and the door needs to open a certain way, and they're all learnings that we've got for the, you know, because we delivered a few. But there's a guy called Nick that lives in Eaton in Newcastle, and we've heard he was from Singleton or out that way. Again, living in a wheelchair, couldn't find anything for his wheelie to get going, as he refers to himself as a wheelie, and he now cooks in his apartment in Eaton and drops off scones and stuff for the people on his floor. And I think, you know, it's changed his life, it's changed mine, it's changed my whole team. We've got a division called In Situ Housing that we've set up dedicated to building this type of housing. And, yeah, we're really going to challenge how the people, you know, the world thinks about incorporating this.
So I couldn't imagine the amount of headaches you had when you first started designing this, to because it's very different from what your cookie cutter product is. Do you think you've refined it to the point now where, as you say, you can go and push out 150 okay? And what's been your biggest challenge in that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you've got people living with a disability, with able-bodied, you know, individuals. So things like the lift that needs to be able to, the buttons need to be at a certain height. I'm not going to say we've nailed it. We're still getting better. And I think, and you know me long enough, I actually think we're just going to keep getting better anyway. We're going to continually challenge ourselves to create better product. Doesn't matter how good we get.
Question, would you, or have you gone back to some of the tenants after they've been there a year and said, hey, what's good and what's not?
Yeah, our learnings for the NDIS. Yeah, 100%. We learnt what sort of, like, we put a Bose system in and it's really good, but we changed up our technology that we're using for the next participants, you know, because that evolves so quickly that we're looking at the best elements there. The layouts, I think we've nailed our layout for apartment living, because you've got, you know, doors need to be a certain width into the bathroom, how to get in the bedroom. You've got to plan to have hoists so that the carers of these participants can help lift them up and put them into bed and so forth. So all that.
In terms of the property itself, who owns it? Is it a private investor? Do you guys still hold some? Yeah. What's the go? And maybe John can answer this as well in terms of investing.
Yeah, well, Bob Ron and I own all of ours. We've got these legacy box that we've got in the creation of Third Eye, and one of that is that we want to create a legacy of projects, and 150 is our number, and we want to build that portfolio property up, and we may partner with a super fund. There's a lot of social responsibility for banks and super funds to own assets like this, so we believe we're going to do all the hard, complicated, messy stuff and get the properties built and the people in them, and then we may look at partnering with an institutional partner to own that asset class in the future. Reaching out, we always checking with clients what we can do better, what services, and a big important thing is used to be House With No Steps is one of our providers. We work with a number of SILs, a specialist independent living advisor, and they help us qualify the participants to then move in. In terms of your question about investment, yeah, I think we may open up the apartments for investors to look at. It's complicated that, you know, a circumstances of a tenant could change instantly. Mm. And you need to be in a position, whilst the income, the NDIS is underwritten by the government and the rents are higher than the market rents, the risk is, say that person's circumstances deteriorate and they can't live independently, they need to move out, then they can leave that property within a day. And then it's vacant, So it's not for everyone. Again, we talk about that on the podcast. Investment, eyes wide open. I'm willing to take that risk because I think I've got a responsibility to create this housing and I'm big enough to do it.
And I would actually applaud you as a person that, you know, because you could, you know, substitute those 150 units with normal ones, sell them and make heaps of money.
Yeah.
Like you... So from a social impact point of view, I think it's really good. And a lot of people
appreciate that.
Because I'm more about, you know, it's not about the money. Like, it's got to be more than the money. And when I left my first job here at North Sydney, my boss said to me before I left, when I was starting my business, he said, two things, Glenn. He said, one, look after people. And two, don't chase the dollars.
Yeah, it's a good – I work hard and I want to earn some money to do, you know, make sure that my family's looked after and I can send my kids to the best schools and all that sort of stuff. Like, I've got my list, right? But, yeah, I think if I'm the guy that's building them, if I'm not challenging myself to build a better product so that the spaces that we exist in are better than when I started, then I shouldn't be in real estate. And that's something that I'm quite passionate about, that my job is to continually challenge myself and my team to think outside the square. And you know, even for our NDIS network, imagine, and this is, it's coming to fruition, we've got U Homes in situ, U Homes, and then we've got a concept called U Holidays. Imagine how hard it is when you've got a family member with a disability to have a holiday. But we build 10 apartments and then we have a carers unit within those 10 apartments, and then the 10 families share the cost of that carer. So my vision for in situ and our U Homes and U Holidays is that those apartments from Tweed, Port, Coss, Newcastle, Central Coast, we're going to dedicate one or two apartments to have as a short-term holiday rental so families can go travel, they can use the Yuruma care to help with their assisted living. And we're going to build a network for people with a disability to go on a holiday. Like, I like going to Coss Harbour for a holiday.
Very nice.
It's so difficult to find anywhere.
Have you had any national press on what you're doing with NDIS stuff?
We're nearly ready to start talking about. We're flying under the radar a little bit.
Because I was going to say, I'd like to introduce you to some of my colleagues at the AFR.
Yeah, well, look, I'd love to share that
story.
It's
such a good story that, you know, you're not just that evil property developer who just wants to friggin' build a building and then Phoenix it and, like,
you're going to sell some of them that you build in Coffs and Tweed and everything?
Yeah, we've been asked to sell them. Our strategy right now is to keep them. Mm. But like I said, there's too many people that need it not to sell. If I knew that there was buyers out there that would join me on the journey, I could definitely combine my resources with theirs and we might be able to do another 100,
Can the families of the disabled buy it and still use the scheme?
They can. A lot of families, though, on the NDIS simply can't afford it.
Mm.
And also because their family member has some disability that may change their circumstances of living in that property, they often are quite happy just to rent. Because then they can move if they need to be, say they're out in regional, New South Wales and they're living in a property and they need to be closer to care, a hospital for rehab or whatnot.
Yeah. And if you're still listening, traditionally NDIS properties haven't been the best investment over the journey because, as you mentioned before, Raisa, they're too far out of town, they're in no good areas and they've got no infrastructure and no public transport, whereas you're actually flipping the coin on that. It's almost the reverse. They're in CBD or on a train line or close to buses and everything
near
else.
Near shopping centres, it's got to be within a couple of blocks of the main street or a hospital or a precinct. My vision for it is in situ means in place.
Mm.
And I've always loved the name, and so I own this in situ housing domain, and I want to bring people back in place so that they're in where they need to be. They have a great connectivity. They've got community around them, and there's opportunities for other developers, even mum and dad investors, to get involved and support this type of housing.
For those who are listening who are really into property, like, how important has it been for you to get professional advice along the way? Like, are you one that didn't want to do it and I'll do it myself? Like, what's...
No, it's important. And, we've always engaged with the best accountants.
Yeah.
And you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, right? And all due respect to Uncle Peter's out there, I use that a little bit, that the advice, you pay for it because you're expecting the best advice. So my tip would be, if you're starting a journey and you want to find out should you be doing it in family trusts or unit trusts or whatever it may be, you know, go and sit down with a licensed financial planner or an accountant and then work out what suits you and your family and what where you want to end up. Because that's, I do stuff in my own name. I've got stuff with my business and, you know, it's all different. Mm. It's all got different rules around it.
Yeah, awesome. No, I really appreciate that insight. All right, thanks, we better let this guy get back to work. So,
busy man.
Thanks so much, Luke from Third Eye. Appreciate it.
No problems. Good. Thanks, guys. Bye.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorised representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.